I don't think it'll be necessary. Okay. I'd like to go through with you tonight is some of the halachos of the Seder. Quickly, very briefly, what we'll do is we'll try to go through each part of the Seder and make a few basic points about it. So let's begin. We prepare for the Seder. One of the ways that we prepare for the Seder is it says in the Achronim, the Taz has, you're supposed to have red wine. Many people like drinking Moscato wine. Many others contend that Moscato doesn't have the halachos of wine because it's too, how do we say, Wasserdick. That's not a real wine, but we like Moscato. So the question is, so there are some red wines, but some people like to have their particular white wine and just dye it red. If someone's Zalman Arbach contends that that's going to be a problem on Yontif, because even though we usually have a rule that ain't Sevilla ba'ochlan, that we're not supposed to dye, that there's no isser of dyeing, again, dyeing in the sense of adding color, not death, but even though we usually have room for Ein Sevilla Ba'ochlin, but if your whole intention is that you want the color, then it will be a problem. So as such, you should not dye your wine. You should not take your white wine and make it red for the Seder, because what you're trying to do is you want that red color. So that would be an issue. There is a discussion, I think we mentioned it briefly at one point, that at the Seder you have to eat the proper shiurim. There's a whole question as to what the proper shiurim are. I think the consensus of poskim is that the shiurim for the Seder are relatively small. For d'oraisas like matzah, the minhag is that we're machmir. Nonetheless, the ikar hadin is that the kezayis is around, we said, a tenth of a hand matzah, a tenth of a machine matzah, a fifteenth of a hand matzah, that's like the real share of a kezayis. You can eat more, obviously, it's very nice, but you have to know what's the bare minimum. Sometimes people feel like they get a kezayis that's like so big, so they say, oh my gosh, I can't do that, so therefore they just take a little bite. The job of the person leading the Seder is to make sure that everyone fulfills the mitzvahs properly, to a certain extent. So give out reasonable shiurim, don't give out these gigantic ostrich eggs, right? We give out reasonable shiurim. Wine versus grape juice is an old question as to what is preferred. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted by Rabbi Eider that you fulfill the mitzvah of dalek kosos with grape juice, but there's an additional mitzvah of derech cheiros, of freedom, which involves that the drink has to be alcoholic, and therefore you don't fulfill derech cheiros if you have grape juice. That was what Rav Moshe Feinstein said. Rav Salavitchik said something similar, although in later years the Rav used to drink grape juice at the Seder because he felt he couldn't handle the wine anymore.
Drinking wine if you have medical issues.
Could
you from being able to drink wine?
Nice. So if you have medical issues, that's what we're discussing. So then, obviously, grape juice, or there is some discussion of Chamar Medina, for dalakosos. I remember my grandmother, the last few years of her life, for dalakosos, she used to drink hot tea.
Oh, wow.
As a dalakosos, because I think hot tea is really Chamar Medina. The only thing about drinking hot tea is the second cup. You have to, it's out, it's in the cup for a while. How do you make sure it's going to be hot tea? That's like the challenge with the second cup. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually discusses that maybe if you're drinking four cups of tea, you don't make four shahakols. Maybe the only reason why we make four brachos, he says, is because it's four cups. He has a whole complicated cheshbon. You only make four brachos, one brach on each cup, if it's cups of wine or grape juice, if it's bar pri agafen. If it's a shahakol, you only make a bracha on cups one and three. That's his argument. Okay, it's worth thinking about, but not
but
for now.
With wine, we also only make on the first.
Our practice, again, Ashkenazi practice, that we make a bar gofen on cups 1, 2, 3, and 4. We assume that they're four separate mitzvos, and even though we don't make a bracha achron after cup 1,
right.
We still make a
bar
pri gofen on cup 2, right?
You're right.
I think that's Ashkenazi practice. Okay, so now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that you fulfill the mitzvah of dalakosos with grape juice against Rav Moshe, and you even get this extra mitzvah of cheiros with grape juice. You found the mitzvah cheiros with grape juice also. It is that the mitzvah cheiros is like the mitzvah simchas yontif and subjective. In other words, if I enjoy something, I feel like a free person, that's good, no? There's a whole discussion, some of the poskim say that to fulfill simplicity, you need to eat meat. Let's say you're the type of Jew who likes dairy, you don't like meat. Can you fulfill simplicity with dairy? So most of Rishonim who discuss this issue assume that you can. Now the mitzvah Simchas Yontif is a subjective mitzvah. Where Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that whatever mitzvah Derech Eretz is also a subjective type of mitzvah, and as such that it's a subjective mitzvah, so therefore if you enjoy grape juice, so for whatever the reason, you should make Kiddush on grape juice, Shev Dalakosis of grape juice. Okay, let's go on to the Seder itself. There are 15 simanim in the Seder. Right, there's a whole Uncle Maishi song. Kadesh or Chatz, Kar, Pas Yachatz. Very catchy tune. So let's talk about Kadesh. Kadesh is the mitzvah that we recite Kiddush. It happens that there's a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. We know that we can't start the Seder until Tseis HaKochavim, until it's actually nightfall. Does that mean that I have to drink the cup after nightfall, but I can recite Kiddush beforehand? Or can I even not recite Kiddush until Tseis HaKochavim, until nightfall? Again, the nafkamin is like 2 minutes, no? It's not that long of a nafkamin, but it's a lumdish question between the Magen Avraham and the Taz, whether you can fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush before dark. Now, the notion that you can't fulfill reciting Kiddush until dark, as Salvechik explained, is because the Kiddush at the Seder is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The main mitzvah that we have Seder nights to tell the story of Mitzrayim. And Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim involves marking how this day is different than all other days. And Kiddush really does that. So therefore, because I fulfill Kiddush with the mitzvah, because it fulfills Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with the mitzvah of Kiddush, therefore just like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be B'shoshish Matzah Umarar at the time after Tseis HaKochavim, when there's Matzah, so also Kiddush has to be at the time when there is the ability to eat Matzah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik commented. It happens that there's another reason why Kiddush should be part of its fundamental. Kiddush is basically an opportunity that we have to sanctify time, to take time and to do something with it, to make it special. If I'm a slave, I don't control time. By definition, right, the difference between, let's be honest, what's the difference between a free person and a slave? We all work really hard, right? We work hard, that's what we do. So what makes a free person different than a slave? It's not how hard we work. I could be working in a quarry all day, you know, and I'm schlepping rocks. That's my job. I'm working really hard. How am I different than the slave? The answer is that the free person, to a certain extent, controls his own time. Free person can decide, right, when to come, when to go, etc.
When to call in sick.
Huh?
When to call in sick.
You have, if you're a slave, you don't control time. And the idea of Kiddush is that we are saying that now we are free people and we control time. We can take this entity, assuming time is a metaphysical entity, and we can elevate it. We can say it's now special. That's a very, very profound idea, I think, as to why Kiddush might be part of the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim also. Because Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is demonstrating that we're free, and Kiddush demonstrates that we're free. One of the questions that many of the poskim discuss is we know that whenever we make Kiddush on the Shabbos and the Yontif, we have to have Kiddush b'makom se'uda, which means I make Kiddush and then I have a meal. If I make a Kiddush 3 hours before I eat the challah, that's not Kiddush b'makom se'uda, is it?
No.
So how on earth do I fulfill Kiddush b'makom se'uda at the Seder? I say Kiddush, and then I hear V'hi Sha'amda, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the Chamisha Chom Sheitara Nasar, Sadibras Hashem Echad, and I hear all the Gematrios, and all the kids and the grandchildren, everyone is singing their songs and saying their Divrei Torah, right?
But the Matzah's line is, it's B'makom Se'uda.
But let's say on the Shabbos morning, I would sit down at home, I'd make Kiddush, and then I would chmooze at the table for 3 hours, 4 hours. So again, it could be that there's a detailed discussion in Achronim. Maybe the Magen Avraham and Evan Ha'er there disagree about this point. But most poskim assume that if you have 72 minutes between the Kiddush and the eating, ain't no chance. There's no Kiddush Makom Se'uda. So how do I fulfill Kiddush Makom Se'uda at the Seder? So there's a whole lamdasha discussion. Some of the poskim say the Chubis v'hanhagos. The Moshe Sternbach argues that I fulfill kedush makom seuda at the seder. Because karpas a teeny bit, but I'm going to have 72 minutes, 90 minutes, 200 minutes after karpas. Mm-hmm. So how do I get kiddush makom seuda? So some poskim say I get kiddush makom seuda at the seder by drinking the cup of wine. See, ordinarily we assume, right, there are no source sheets, this is just schmoozing, but ordinarily we assume that for each of the four cups, all you have to do is drink a rov hakos. Right? You don't have a rov revius, technically. If you should try for the seder, by the way, to get a small cup, not a big cup, because with chatchila, it's better to drink the entire cup of wine. B'diyeved, it's enough with rov. And you don't want to drink too much, because then you end up not being able to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you try to get a small cup, a cup that has just the revius of wine, whether a revius is 4 ounces according to the Chazon Ish, or 2.8 ounces according to Reb Moshe, whatever it is, but try to get a cup that's pretty small, a revius cup. Great. And usually, I drink rove of a revius, and I fulfill my mitzvah that way. Reb Moshe Sternbach says that for the first cup at the Seder, you should drink the whole thing. Because to fulfill Kiddush B'makom Seuda, there's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Do you need to eat hamotzi? Is it enough to have mezonos? What about if you have a revius of wine? Some Gaonim say, with a revius of wine, you fulfill Kiddush B'makom Seuda. So says Reb Moshe Sternbach, the way you get Kiddush B'makom Seuda at the Seder, even though I'm going to have 2-3 hours... right, between Kiddush and the meal, is by drinking that revius of wine. Other poskim, this is a tremendous brisker chumrah, they say, you know what you should do to get Kiddush makom seuda? You should just say the Haggadah very quickly, don't say any divrei Torah, don't waste any time. Now this totally destroys... Well, no, they say, Kalmab reizim b'shubach, because they're doing Shulchan Orech. You sit there and then you tell the story again and again and again, and you... But Chacham Avadi Yosef's expression over here is very interesting. He says, "Bala matzah yatzah." If I swallow matzah without chewing, I'm yotzei. Bala haggadah. If I swallow the haggadah, I don't chew it over, mull it over, I don't discuss it, I'm not yotzei. So the idea of trying to rush through the haggadah to get kiddush makom seuda doesn't seem proper to me. So what's the basic way how you fulfill kiddush makom seuda? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach develops this following theory. He thinks a kiddush makom seuda depends on the type of meal, and this type of meal, called a seder meal, has a different definition, kiddush makom seuda. And even though it's going to take me 2.5 or 3 hours between kiddush and hamotzi, maybe that's not a problem, because it's a special type of meal. But he says, in order to show that's a special type of meal, the Baal Haggadah, whoever this is, who was the Baal Haggadah? Nobody knows, right? The Gemara has a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. What's the text of the Haggadah, right? So the Haggadah is probably not instituted, not formalized at the time of the Amoraim. By the time of the Gaonim, there were different Haggadahs floating around. So Haggadah of Reb Amram going, the Haggadah of Reb Sadi going. There's slight differences. The Rambam puts them together. It seems okay. Whoever the Baal Haggadah was, he was. But the Baal Haggadah put something called Yachatz into the Haggadah. Yachatz doesn't really make sense, no? What's yachatz? So you break the matzah, and we make a big deal about it. What does it mean? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that's our demonstration that this is how we fulfill Kiddush Makom Seuda. Because by breaking that matzah, we show that, the meal began already. It's still Seuda. We didn't eat yet. But we began the process. So that's how we fulfill Kiddush Makom Seuda. Again, I find the question much better than the answer. But it's something to think about from the halachic perspective. How do we fulfill Kiddush Makom Seuda at the Seder? So that's Kadesh. Let's move on to Orchatz, no? Kadesh is followed by Orchatz. Did you ever notice that of all the simonim of the Seder, there are 15 of them, none of them begin with a Vav? We don't say V'yachatz. We don't say V'rachtza. It's only Kadesh, Orchatz. Orchatz is the only one that begins with a Vav. Why is that? So some of the Hasidic Rebbes suggest that maybe Orchatz is connected to Kadesh. You see, washing, why do we do Orchatz? We do Orchatz because we're dipping a vegetable in salt water, right? And the halacha is that Dabar Shetibul Mashke requires Netilas Yadayim. It happens that Tosfos there in Pesachim on Kuf Tezvav says that Bizman Hazeh, you don't have to do Netzilas Yadayim for Davar Shetibul Abamashke. Bizman Hazeh, we're all tummy anyway, so you don't have to do Netzilas Yadayim. That's what Tosfos says. Now, therefore, some argue, if Tosfos is right, how can we wash our hands? The answer is extra Kedusha. Leo HaSeder, we're trying to put ourselves in a place of extra Kedusha. Technically speaking, it's not required, but for extra Kedusha, we wash our hands. And that's why some explain, some of the Rebbe say, Kadesh or Chatz. The Rechitza itself is part of additional Kedusha. Right? They're connected. It's only Rechitza because of Kedusha. What do you want to say, Mark?
I was going to ask if Tosfos still thinks we should do Netzilas Yadayim for Hamotzi.
For Hamotzi, yes, because Hamotzi is a different type of Netzilas Yadayim Nesrach. Hamotzi is based on Truma, and regular, we technically do have Truma today. Regular Netzilas Yadayim for Davar Shetibul Abamashke, that is only based on Tumah and Tahara. No one keeps Tumah and Tahara today because we're all Tamei. But Truma, theoretically, we do have. Yeah. So that's Kadesh or Chatz. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach develops the following Chiddush based on this. You know, I once saw a comedian who had a whole routine about how you could tell an Orthodox Jew because she's trying to speak with like her rings in her mouth. Right? It's like a whole... You heard this routine at some point.
Yeah, that's
funny. Right? Now, why do people take off their rings when they do Netzilas Yadayim? They take off their rings because it's assumed to be a chatzitza. The ring is an impediment. The water has to go on your entire hand. So you do... Oh. But there are some Rishonim who assume that rings are not a chatzitza, especially if the water can get underneath the ring. I once had a case of a woman who couldn't get her ring off. She had to go to the mikvah. We have cases like this. There are, you try to soften it with like lots of soap. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. It could be a challenge. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says maybe because the urchatz is not a really required netilah, so maybe you should not take off your rings to this Netzilas Yadayim to show that it's a Netzilas Yadayim just for additional Kedusha, to show that we're holy, but it's not a full-fledged requirement, so don't do all the requirements. That's what he suggests. The minig, is this true that the minig by the Germans still is that only the leader of the Seder
yes.
washes hands by Orchatz?
Yes.
Right, what does that mean? Like, everyone is dipping the vegetable in the liquid. So some say that the Germans eat the vegetable...
My dad would take the carpets and dip it in the soil and put it on a plate and then pass around the plate.
And pass. But did they eat it with their hand?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you eat it with your hand, then you need Netzilas Yadayim. You're eating a wet vegetable.
But my dad did the dipping.
Your dad did the dipping. But even if you don't do the dipping yourself, if I eat a dipped vegetable, I need Netzilas Yadayim.
Interesting.
So what's the practice that only the head of the Seder makes washes hands at Orchatz? So the practice may be based on the same thing, Kadesh Orchatz. That the Orchatz maybe is not a real requirement. Maybe the Orchatz is just additional Kedusha to show something special. Say Orchatz is also Kadesh Yish Alo HaTinokos. You want the kids to ask a question. If I want the kids to ask a question, right? So I do something weird and different. I wash my hands when I don't do that all year long.
Is that why there's no bracha of Netzilas Yadayim?
There's no bracha because it's a machlokas haposkim, whether... you have to wash, so we don't make a bracha. Right? That in the technical sense. But according to this, it's even more understandable that there is no bracha because it's not a real requirement. It's, right? Some suggest, by the way, that I saw in this book, the Seder Ha'aruch. There are three volumes of this called the Seder Ha'aruch. It has every single thing you ever wanted to know about the Seder. And it goes on and on and on. It's amazing. It's a great Sefer. But who wrote it? Oh, now you're... You're asking that I read the title page. Moshe Yaakov Weingarten.
Oh, from Montreux?
From Yerushalayim, apparently. I don't know. But, so in the Seder Ha'aruch, he argues if you add a communal Seder and you have like 100 people, 150 people, he says, do the Yekka, become a Yekka.
Yeah.
Have only one person watch for Orchaz, you'll save half an hour, why waste the time? That's his suggestion, which I think it's interesting. The Rambam, at the beginning of Parakas, sounds like only the Baal HaBayis watches for Orchatz, which is also an interesting idea. Karpas. There is a discussion in Rishonim also very similar to what we just said by Orchatz by Karpas. The Shibale Halakit writes that only the head of the Seder eats Karpas. But I know every year at the Seder, my mother basically asks, how come your kazayas of matzah is so big and your kazayas of Karpas is so small? You ever heard that question? It's a very famous question. It's a good question, no? Like, the gazayas of matzah is like the size of an ostrich egg. It's like as big as the whole shul. Gazayas of karpas, right? It's like the top of your thumb, if you're lucky. And it's a good question. We try to eat less than a kazayas. So there were gedolim who specifically, the Rambam writes that you should eat a kazayas. The Vilna Gaon ate a kazayas of chazanish. You should eat a kazayas of karpas. If you end up eating a kazayas, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, do not recite a brach achrona on the karpas. Taisus has two opinions as to what's the lumdus of the karpas. Is the bar pri adam on karpas opposed to pater the maror, or is the karpas there just kadesh yishal atinokos? It's not there to pater the maror, but because we assume that the karpas is there to pater the maror, so even if you eat a kazayas, you don't make a brach achrona after the karpas. But the Shibalei Alekat says that only one person eats karpas, not everybody else. What's the idea? The idea might be the same thing. That karpas, because kadesh yishal atinokos, just to raise people's curiosity, you don't, right? A mitzvah everyone has to do. But something that's there just to raise people's curiosity, maybe only one person does it, to do like a weird little gimmick, to get everyone excited, that's kadesh yishal atinokos. It's very important that when you do karpas, you should do it with your hands, not with a fork. Because the whole idea of washing is because your hands get in the liquid. No, you use a fork. I understand it's much more civilized. I got it. I know exactly what you're thinking. But, you know, once a year, right, I guess at the beginning of the Seder, we're still slaves. There actually is a little bit of a question as to whether Karpas is Zecher La'avdus or Zecher L'Cheiros, no? Is Karpas Rosh Tevos Karpasim, like a soft pillow? Or is Karpas the same letters as Samach Perach? 60,000 people did hard labor. The nafgamina between the two origins of the term karpas might be whether we eat karpas leaning. I happen to think that the preferred practice is to eat karpas leaning rather than not leaning. I don't remember what it says in the Haggadahs anymore. I just know what I do.
Isn't dipping also like...
So some said dipping... So dipping could be both... a happy thing and a sad thing. It's interesting that we're dipping, that's like what rich people do, we're dipping in salt water. Right? We take, it's funny, the two dippings in some ways are opposites, no? Maror is bitter, we dip it in charoses, which is sweet. Karpas is sweet, we dip it in salt water, which is bitter. The idea seems to be that part of the Haggadah, and Reb Osher Weiss has this in his Haggadah, part of the Haggadah is to point out that contradictory emotions are good. That we live contradictions often. Right? If we I remember one time I read in Primo Levi, actually, in his story about being in the ghetto and in the camps, Primo Levi writes that one thing he realized is that humans are incapable of experiencing pure sadness. He talked about the humor in the camps. People would go around and they tell a little vits, a joke here and there. It keeps them. We can't, right? And I think to a certain extent, the idea of dipping the sweet in the bitter and the bitter in the sweet is that our emotions always have to be moderated. Right? Especially if you remember that the two tibulim at the Seder, the two dips, go back to the dipping of the Ksonas Yosef. They dip the Ksonis Yosef in blood. No? The Ksonis Yosef represents a beautiful cloak. Right? Yosef is ripped up, the father thinks. Right? There is a lot to say about that. There are two discussions also, two minhagim. Does everyone in the family, everyone at the Seder, make a Bari Pri Adama in Karpas? Does one person make the Bari Pri Adama to be motzi everybody? This depends. If it's a mitzvah, one person can be motzi everybody when we're all sitting around, right, with Haseba. If it's not a mitzvah, if it's Kadesh Yishalat Yinokos or something, then everyone has to do it themselves. Assuming everyone does it, everyone has to do it themselves. There is a tremendous chumrah of the Shulah HaKadosh that I don't think anyone holds of. The Shulah HaKadosh says that because the bracha of Karpas goes on Maror, so you should not talk between Karpas and Maror. About the Haggadah, he's okay, but don't say anything extraneous. Is this like the biggest chum in Judaism? You ever heard this one, Lev? Biggest chum in Judaism. Don't talk between Karpas and Mar. Again, I don't think anyone really holds of that, but that is Karpas. Yachatz. So Yachatz, we mentioned, Reb Shlomo Zalman points out, this shows like the idea that the Su'uda began. Yachatz Alpi Kabbalah. This is, my wife makes fun of me every year for saying this and for trying to do it. You're supposed to try to break the matzah to look like a dalet and a vav. Dalet referring to the four corners where the Rabbonu Shel Olam is, and vav is one of the letters of the Shem Havaya. Now, if it's a round matzah, to try to break it to be a dalet and a vav requires tremendous dexterity. Impossible, probably. But every year I try it, and my kids ask, why are you doing this? The answer is, Kedesh Yishalot Tinokos. Keep them excited. Right? That's the idea of Yachatz. The larger part we put away for Afikomen. Afikomen, of course, represents the end of the Seder, Yemos HaMashiach. We recognize that whatever we have, and Baruch Hashem, there are some good things in the world. Whatever we have now, it's not comparable to what's going to be La'asad Lavon, Yemos HaMashiach. The bigger piece is always going to be in the future. The whole end of the Haggadah is about Yemos HaMashiach. The Halal at the end of the Haggadah is much bigger than the Halal at the beginning of the Haggadah. All these ideas are pretty much the same. Haggadah, Magid, is the bulk of what we do. The term Haggadah is probably based on the pasuk that we recite, or the psukim that we recite in the Haggadah, all come from Parshas Kisavo by Mikra Bikurim, and over there it says Higati Hayom Hashem Elokeinu. So Higati is a lashon Haggadah, and that's why it's called Haggadah. It happens that the Targum writes on Higati Hayom Hashem Elokeinu that Shabachis Yomer Dein, I praise today, which means that Haggadah is an expression of shevach as well, of giving praise to Hashem. Rashi, throughout Maseches Pesachim, two or three places, Rashi says that Hallel and Haggadah go together. Right? In other words, I can't tell the story of leaving Mitzrayim and experience that without jumping into Hallel. Right? Shevach and Haggadah is all together. There's another etymology of the word Haggadah, which is interesting, which is the Maharal of Prague comments. I think I said this at the Man Seder, actually. Maharal of Prague comments, the Haggadah comes from the expression of Aguda. V'yayosu chulam Aguda achas. The idea is that when we tell stories, we bind, we connect. By the way, if you want to know a family sometimes, they're family stories. This Leo HaSeder's want to say those over. Right? It binds the generations. I know my grandfather's tunes for the Haggadah. I know some of the stories. Right? It brings stuff together. It becomes an Aguda. And that's a very, very important part of Haggadah. There is a discussion in the Achronim mostly about what's the bare minimum that you have to say at Haggadah. I once had this shiloh. Someone in the shul was on call, Leil HaSeder, she was working as a doctor, and so she said, I don't know how much time I'm going to have to make a Seder. I assume I'll be able to get like 20 minutes. Right? What's the bare minimum I could do? How can I get a Seder in 20 minutes? So it happens, ain't that much to say. If you just say it, chick chack boom, no? It goes pretty quick, right? You could do it. So what's the bare minimum of Haggadah? So most assume that the statement of Rabbi Gamliel is not required. Right, the Ran writes Himsachim Lo Yotzei Yedei Chovasoh means that you don't fulfill a mitzvah min amuvchar in the most preferred way. So therefore, according to the Ran, you fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah 100%. You say Avadim Hayinu, you say Manishdana, you say Avadim Hayinu, you say Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zara. And then what? You don't need the Makis wasn't in the Rambam's Haggadah at all. The 10 Makis wasn't in the Rambam's Haggadah. That's kind of a bummer.
So what do you have to say now? Sorry.
You say Kiddush, right? You say Manishtana, you say Avodim Hayin, you say Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, then you have to do the Drushas a little bit, Arami Ovid Avi, etc. You go through those Psukim, then you say the Bracha of Asher Galanu, and then you say Halal and Asher Galanu. Those two chapters of Halal and Asher Galanu. That'll take you what, 2 minutes?
Maybe
4 minutes. Tick, check, boom. Right, speed Seder. Right, that's the Yisod. Rav Shlomo Zalman over here in the Halichos Shlomo on page 263 gives you some of the guidelines for a speed Seder. One of the interesting questions that people ask is how come we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's such a beautiful mitzvah. It's like the highlight is this mitzvah of telling all the story. How come there's no bracha? And MS the verse on Mishon and the Meiri and others say that there was a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the standard Judaism is that there's no bracha. Why not? Why not? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on one occasion said that maybe there's no bracha because there are certain mitzvahs that we do because it's the right thing to do, because we feel we want to do them, not because God said so. Some of the Rishonim ask, how come there's no bracha on Kibud Av V'Aim? The answer is because if I make a bracha on Kibud Av V'Aim, that takes away from Kibud Av V'Aim. Kibud Av V'Aim means I'm supposed to serve my parents. Right? I'm supposed to help them. If I make a bracha beforehand, that means I'm not doing it because I want to do it, because I have the proper heritage, the proper feeling. I'm doing it because Hashem said so. That's not Kibud Av V'Aim. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said in the same shir, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, maybe there's no bracha on it, because we don't move to Eretz Yisrael in some ways because God commanded us to do so, God wants us to do it. We move to Eretz Yisrael because it's the best country in the world. It's Eretz Asher Eina Hashem Elokecha B'Amrish Hashanah B'Alach Hashanah. Right? So there's no bracha, because a bracha would detract from the mitzvah. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder, I do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim because I feel like I left. And just like, you know, there is a mitzvah of Karban Todah, when something good happened to me, right? So, actually, you could say this for at the end of the Haggadah. Nidarei L'Hashem HaShalem Negdono L'chol Amo. It refers to the Karban Todah, those psukim in Tehillim that we say that in Halel. Negdono means I will tell it. Something good happened to me, Negda. It's Magid. It's Haggadah. I will tell everybody. Something good happened, I have to do it. I feel like I left Mitzrayim. It's Gevaldik. I have to tell you. And making a bracha would take away from it. Therefore, there's no bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said. Others suggest that there really is a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's not a bracha before the mitzvah, it's a bracha after the mitzvah. Maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman is right, there's no bracha beforehand because the whole emotional piece that we mentioned, but there is a bracha after. The bracha of Asher Golanu. Asher Golanu v'gos avoseinu mimitzrayim. Right? That bracha might be the bracha on Haggadah. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach entertains that if you hold the bracha on Haggadah, you have to be very careful not to be mafsik between the end of Halal and Asher Galanu, right? Asher Galanu has to come right after Haggadah. You go right into it. You can't be masik because it's a bracha on the mitzvah of Halal and Haggadah, which we mentioned is the same mitzvah. This bracha of Asher Galanu is just worth 1 or 2 minutes of focus, especially this year. Yeah, Lev.
If we take Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's answer, why there's no bracha, then how can we say a bracha on learning Torah? Because the learning Torah, we want to learn Torah. Got it?
Yourself, Ram.
We want to learn Torah. It shouldn't be God commanded us to learn Torah, so we should do it.
Again, on a certain level, many mitzvahs, I could say the same idea, but certain mitzvahs, I think, are more intellectual. Other mitzvahs are more emotional. A mitzvah like Kibud Av V'Aim, the idea is it's like more of an emotional mitzvah. I do it because I want to do it. Right? A mitzvah mm-hmm. sipur yitzis mitzrayim, the same thing. I think mitzvah is intellectual. We could say we're doing it because Hashem said so. Right? I learn Torah. Again, I want to learn Torah because Hashem said I should do it. It's worth focusing. It's a good question. Okay, let's go through the bracha of Asher Golanu. Asher Golanu Gosav Aseinu Mimitzrayim V'Higiyanu HaLayla Zeh Lecho Bo Matzah Umarar. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. He brings us to tonight. Matzah Umarar. Kena Hashem Elokeinu Melech Aseinu Yagein Lamoedim L'Golim HaChayrim HaBoim L'Kroseinu L'Shalom. Right? We should come to many more Yamim Tovim. Right? In health, in peace. Smeichim B'Vinyan Yirecha. We should be happy with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. V'sasim b'avodasecha. Sasim and simcha, two different words for joy. Smeichem v'tzeisam. V'sasim b'vo'am. Right? Simcha is the beginning of the process. Sason is at the end of the process. So smeichem b'vinyan yirecha. We're happy with the building of Yerushalayim, but that's not the end. V'sasim b'avodasecha. V'nochal sham. We're going to eat, and then there are two gersaos, and this is going to be relevant for this year, for the second night of Pesach, Motzei Shabbos. V'nochal sham, usually we say min hazavachim u'min hapsachim. On Motzei Shabbos, many haggadahs say that we should change the text instead of min hazavachim u'min hapsachim to be min hapsachim u'min hazavachim. Right? Right, we have v'noch hasham min hazvachim u'min hapsachim. Right, but on Motzei Shabbos, some haggadahs have min hapsachim u'min hazvachim. What does that have to do with? So zvachim and psachim. The Mishnah says psachim before zvachim, and Tosfos says, whoa, we got to change the text in the Mishnah. It should be zvachim before psachim because zvachim refers to the carbon chagiga. Right, which was Nechal before the Pesach, and the Pesachim is the Pesach. So Zvachim, then Pesachim, because first Chagiga, then Pesach. That's what Taisa says. The Mishnah, though, has the text, Pesachim and then Zvachim. What's that based on? I'm saying that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam says that they didn't eat the Korban Pesach only once at the Seder. They ate the Korban Pesach twice at the Seder. They ate Pesach at the beginning, then Korban Chagiga, then another Kazayis of Pesach at the end. They Pesach twice. So our Afikoman practice might be based, and our practice of eating matzah twice is based on this type of idea. They ate Pesach twice. No? Oh. So we eat Minha. So some say that if Tosfos is right, the way we have the Giras and the Haggadah, V'no Hashem and Azvachim and Apsachim, that's Chagiga before Pesach, that makes sense most years. But on Motzei Shabbos, they couldn't have a Chagiga, because the Chagiga's Yudalid wasn't Doche Shabbos. So therefore, on Motzei Shabbos, for us, the second night of Yontif this year, we have a Noch Hashem, Min HaPsachim, U'min HaZvachim. That's why they flip the Girsa. Others say, whoa, we're not talking about this year, we're talking about next year. So even though this year Pesach is on a Motzei Shabbos, next year it won't be. So we should always say min hazvachim, min hapsachim. I think the standard approach is that I think the Haggadahs flip it, actually. And the Haggadahs say that on Motzei Shabbos you should say psachim before zvachim. Okay, but this is...
We still say it.
No, in other words, why are we mentioning it at all? So it might be that psachim and zvachim means zvachim, the Korban Pesach, and zvachim means the other Korbanos.
Which we bring on Shabbos or
at any time. We want the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. We're going to eat the Korban Pesach. We eat other Korbanos. Asher yagia domam al kir mizbachacha le'ratzayin. Okay, this is a very hard line to explain. Asher yagia domam, that the blood reaches the wall of the Mizbeach. What does that mean? So the answer might be as follows. There are two ways that dam could get on the Mizbeach. It could get with zrika, or it could get with shvicha. Some karbanis had zrika, that they would sprinkle. Others had shvicha, they poured the blood. We want to kill two birds with one stone, so how do you have one term in Hebrew that implies both Zerika and Shvicha. So you say, mean Asher Yagi Adamam. The blood gets to the Mizbeach. What does it mean, Akir Mizbachach L'Ratzon? We want the blood to get on the wall of the Mizbeach L'Ratzon. What does that mean? Ah. So that might mean as follows. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara Megillah and elsewhere about whether Kriven Afabishain Bayis. Can you bring Karbanis today when there's no Beis HaMikdash? No? I don't recommend trying to go up to the Temple Mount and bring Karbanos. You probably won't come out alive, unfortunately. But there is a discussion about whether Makriven Afabishain Bayis. Historically, the only Karban that was brought after Korban HaBayis was the Karban Pesach. We know that Jews brought Korban Pesach after the Beis HaMikdash. I might speak about this on Yom Tov, actually, one night. Historically, we know that Jews brought Korban Pesach after Korban HaBayis, but other Korbanos weren't brought. What's the pshat? So, the Netziv famously maintains, it's because if you read the Sefer HaChinuch on Makriv and Afbishein Bayis, Sefer HaChinuch says, yeah, you can bring Korbanos, but the Korban is going to be inferior. The Korban won't have Reyach Nichoach. It won't have a beautiful odor for the Ribbon Shalom. Because there's no Beis HaMikdash, so it won't smell good to Ribbon Shalom, whatever that means. Now, most Korbanos have to be L'shem Reyach, L'shem Nichoach. And if it's not done L'shema, it might be Pasul. And if you can't do it L'shem Reyach Nichoach, you can't bring it, so they didn't bring it. Korban Pesach, the Torah never says Reyach Nichoach. It's not there. So therefore, the only Korban that they used to bring was Korban Pesach. So what we're saying is, we want to eat min hazvachim, min hapsachim, asher yagi adamam akir mizbachachol l'ratzon, that the blood goes ratzon, l'ratzon means reyach nichoach, l'ratzon means something that the Ribbono shel Olam enjoys. Right, that's the bracha of asher ga'alanu.
Don't we say in the Musaf of Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Reach Nichoach Yishei L'Adonai.
The Korban Musaf is Reach Nichoach, but Korban Pesach was not Reach Nichoach, yeah.
How do we know the Korban Pesach was not?
The Torah never says that it was. The Torah never uses the words Reach Nichoach. I should point out also about this book of Asher Go'olanu. Asher Go'olanu v'gos ha'vaseinu mi'mitzrayim. You should have in mind when you say those words that this is the bruch of Shehachiyanu on Sibur Yitzis Mitzrayim. Shehachiyanu v'kimonu v'higiyanu v'higiyanu halayla hazeh.
Don't we say those words that Reach Nichoach Yishei, even on days when
most korbanos are Reach Nichoach, Korban Pesach, the
Torah. No, I'm saying, don't we say those words even on days that when Pesach does not fall on
I mean, we say those words by all korbanos. Don't know. I'm not exactly sure what. V'noda locha shir chadash agulaseinu avtus nafsheinu. And then we say Ga'al Yisrael. That's our text, and that's the end of. That's the end of Maggid. Do people want to go on for the rest of the Haggadah, make comments on it, or are people tired? We could stop over here. I have more notes over here, but I think okay. Let's break over here for the time being, and maybe over Yom Tov we'll continue with more of the Haggadah. Right, Lashana Babi Rishalayim. There's nothing more magical than the Seder.
Yeah, I love that.
And when you understand it, like if you could find time to just learn, I know it's hard, and like to learn at the car wash, and to learn with your kids, like jumping on your head and making you crazy. It's very hard. It's very hard. But you can't do a good Seder unless you prepare. And if you can take a mefarish on the Haggadah who resonates with you, and just read it. And even if you read it last year and 2 years ago, but you forget over time, and it becomes fresher, and it becomes more exciting. You take out a commentary of Rabbeinu Hirsch in the Haggadah. It's beautiful. Right? It's magic. Everything puts together. Everything fits into place. It's like a puzzle.
It's read the Torah over and over again because we're always constantly getting new.
You know what it's like, by the way? If you are a student of classical music. Much classical music, the way the movements work is that there is a series of notes at the beginning, right? It's minuet, trio, minuet, right? Yeah, the repetition is when you really get into it, right? The repetition is really when it strikes a chord. Beauty is something that we don't appreciate, it catches our eye the first time, but we really appreciate when we get into it. The Haggadah is such a beautiful text. It's so simple on some levels, but there's really, you can gain more. Like, I wish Maggid would end. I wish it would go on forever. It can't. A few times a year, Yom Kippur, I wish would never end. Maggid. There's certain things that are just... That's it. So we should have a good Yom Tov. Thank you for coming and learning.